Before we get going here, I'd like you to take and do a little thinking. And if you want to write it down on something, you can. It's just a yes or no answer. So if you think you can remember what you answered, you don't have to write it down. But the question I would like you to think about to start with is, in the Bible, is there all that you need for your life? I'll repeat it again. In the Bible, is there all that you need for your life? You can think about that, finish what I'm doing here. Okay. As you thought about it, your first response would be, well, yeah, yes, there is. Everything that we need is in the Bible. That question was sort of something I was thinking about as a result of one of the classes that we had during this past year. The statement was sort of said in some form of that manner. And I thought, well, yeah, that does have everything that we need. But then, as I started to think more about it, well, does it really? And so I started thinking, well, no, it doesn't. The reason why I say that is because sometimes we think of the failures that we have in our life, and we wonder, well, does it have the answers when we have those? We have different problems in our life. Does it have the answers when we have that? If it has the answers, then why do people have so many questions, is what I was thinking about towards the end. Why do so many people have so many questions? If it has all the answers, why do people have so many questions? And so as I thought more about it, well, maybe no, it doesn't really have all the answers in that sense. But then as you may be thinking yourself a little bit further, you go back, well, yeah, but it should have all the answers. The right answer should be yes. But how do we get to that? If it has all the answers, why can't I find them when I need them? They seem to be elusive. Sometimes the problem might be, oh, maybe you haven't studied God's Word enough to find them. Or perhaps they're not really found in the form that we're perhaps looking for, and so we can't find them at all. As we continue on, I trust that you might realize that the answer would be yes, but perhaps in a modified form. And so we're going to take and try to consider that a little bit further with a couple of illustrations there. And need a little help there to take and do this. Ron, come on up front here if you would for me. I need Tom and Ray, if they'd also like to come up. Use their support this morning here. Okay. This is going to be your guys, as you know, real well, have these guys. This is your support group over here.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so if you can look at them, and what you need to do to start with is just hold your arms out. Can you hold your arm? Okay. Now, you guys want to give them a hand? Give them just, you know. Okay, that's your support group, all right? Raymond, would you like to go over here and pick out one of these books here? Anyone? Okay. You can give that to Ron there. Ron, turn your hands over there a little bit. Put it on his hands there. How's the support group doing over here? How you doing, Ron? You doing okay?
I'm doing fine.
Out of all these words that we have up here, do we have them all up?
Not quite.
Not quite. What one are we missing? What? Endurance. You think this might have anything to do with it over here? How about taking each one of you guys and get underneath there and just sort of support that? Right?
You know, I give a full punch.
If I push down now, see, it doesn't bother him too much, as much, because he's got a better support group than just this part. Okay, you can put the book back, and that's good enough. Thank you, guys. You picked a good one. I saw you guys the other day at his birthday over there, and I thought, well, this is perfect for what I'm looking for. So thank you for your help there. But we're looking at the idea of endurance a little bit more. Why? Because we just talked about this a few weeks ago. And then last Sunday evening, if you weren't out here in the evening service there, Brother Tom Clark talked about the portion of Scripture as well again. And so we're taking and thinking about this term endurance. And so the idea is, okay, should we have endurance? Is that something that should be in our life? Yes or no? Yes, okay. So based, if you listen to the messages, you might say, okay, yes. What's the problem? The problem is, well, how do we do that? And so what would be Ron's thought over here with regards to that, other than he might want to take and get even with me down the road someplace later on, and a few other thoughts maybe, but there's one word that I'm looking for that he had to take and consider. Huh? Help, okay, yeah, that would be, wonder if he was going to get any help with it. And why would he need help? What would be the word I'm looking for that would require us to have help? What would we tend to try to do? Starts with Q. Quit. There we go. That's something we'd have to take and try to deal with as we talk about the subject of endurance, is the idea of quitting. Now, I mean, that comes across to me as I'm involved with different things as I'm doing my exercises. The idea of that comes to my mind very easily. I want to quit and stop doing them. And so the idea of endurance, okay, yeah, we know we need to have that. But the idea of, well, how, when we're approached with the idea of, well, we really want to quit. And so as we try to take a look at the practical part of that, I'm going to ask Bill if he'd like to take and just read from where he's at. And you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. He used this portion, and it was a very good portion. And so if you would just stand up and read out loud there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll give you how far to go there here in just a second as I get it. Second Timothy, everybody should turn to that, and let's go down to verse 15. Bill, if you'd read those first 15 verses for us. Thanks, Bill. He had a very excellent message on this, and the word endure occurs in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness, and also in verse 10, therefore I endure all things. And so he mentions that as his portion of Scripture for the thing of endurance, the week that he had it there. And as I said last Sunday night, again, this was spoken on. Now, he spoke on it last Sunday night with regards to the teaching that needs to be passed on to others and emphasized that. But he also talked about this other word, metaphors, with regards to this particular area. And Bill also mentioned that there were some metaphors there. What are the metaphors that Bill mentioned? Who can remember? What were the metaphors that he had mentioned that were there from this portion of Scripture? There's three of them. Soldier, athlete, right, and a farmer. And so again, if those three people were in our gathering, I could give you this message, and yet they could take it three different ways. Or other people can take it other ways. Again, he says that he just gives you these three examples. And a metaphor, I thought I knew what it was, but again, I just looked it up in the dictionary, so in case you don't remember, it's very interesting. It's a figure of speech in which one thing, likened to another, different thing by being spoken of as if it were the other. It sounds like a little mumble jumble, but it basically kind of means it's like one thing is the equivalent of the other. And the example was given in the dictionary of all the world is a stage. And so the one thing is sort of like equivalent to the other. And so with regards to the portion of Scripture, endurance is equivalent to being a good soldier. Endurance is equivalent to being a good athlete. Endurance is equivalent to being a good farmer, or other illustrations that you might want to put there. They all have this idea of enduring within that, and then the idea of, well, how do we do it? Well, the portion of Scripture that he didn't talk about as much is, well, how, as much as a little bit, but let's go back to verse 4. No man at war entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He did mention it. I didn't mean he didn't mention it, but to emphasize the how part of it is also in here briefly. For a soldier, if he's going to take and be a good soldier, if he's going to endure the hardness, he can't entangle himself with the affairs of this life. That's like in the sense of one way of how to take and do that. And again, for verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries or being athletic, yet is not crowned except he strive lawfully. I thought of the Sammy Sosa with the cork bat, you know. Here he had all this good record, but all of a sudden he's had it destroyed because he's tried to do something maybe unlawfully, and that affected what he was trying to strive after. And so there's other examples that Paul could include. He just includes these three, I believe, and I'm going to show you another one and just refer to another one. But here are examples in God's Word a little bit about not only the principle that's involved, such as endurance, but also a little bit how to take and do it. All these are like individual things, individual topics, but again, the problem would be, well, how do we take and do them? And that's why the selection of songs was good, because it emphasizes the Lord Jesus Christ and all of that. The second illustration, take and continue on, is with regards to this up here. Yesterday down at camp, they had a good day of remembering different things, and especially they were at the end there, they were talking about that word up there, that commitment, and the commitment that many people have put down at camp over the years. And so they were giving some math out and doing some things. So I got a little bit of math to go over. Somebody read Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10 for me first of all, before we get to this. Psalms 90 and verse 10, whoever gets it, they can read that.
Days of our years are 80 years and 10, and by reason of strength they be 80 years, death is their strength, labor, and sorrow. But it's soon cut off when we fly away.
Okay, so that means what? We have 70 years at this point in time, and yet we realize that with our medicine there, that's been extended pretty well. But we'll take 70 as it says there, and we'll average it out to 300. Or I mean, we'll take and cut it off, or round it off to 360 days. So if you multiply 360 by 70, you come up with a figure of 25,200 days that would be in our lifetime. Now, if you take and start to read about when you're 7th or 8th grade, 3rd or 4th grade area, that's when you maybe begin to learn how to read and everything. We'll subtract that off, and that leaves you with about 22,000 days left of taking and reading. You could spend each day reading. And so This morning, I don't know how many we have in the group. I didn't count them here, but let's say we have 70 people. We'll take 70. And you take 70, because each person here is unique, times 22,000. Well, you can see what that figure would be. But that's only the people right here. Now let's take the whole country, the people in the whole world that live right now. How many people, how many days would that come up to? And then for every time period, the people, how many days would that be? Well, that's a big, big number. And so up here, this sort of represents that a little bit of almost the 22,000. There's about 20,000 pages right there from here over to here, roughly give or takes. So that's not quite even the 22,000. I ran out of trying to come up with some more big books here. But it's close enough to take and show you the idea that I'm trying to show you through all of this. The idea being that if you took each page as being a day of your life, how long would you like to take and read about your life? Starting from seventh and eighth year, you know, you might say, well, you look at that, I don't want to read all that. Forget that. But that represents each day of life. And yet sometimes we would like instructions for each day of our life. Lord, tell us what I need to do today. What do I need to say? What do I need to hear? Where do I need to go? Give me instructions for today. I got this problem today. What's the answer? So let's say each one of these pages represents God's answer to you each day. Would you take the time to take and read it? Would you spend the day? Okay, I'd be at the start of the day. This is going to tell me everything I need to know. I'm going to have all my answers. You might say, well, I'm going to get tired of doing that. It represents a lot of work. And so to go back to the thought of, does the Bible have all in it to meet our needs? Here's my Bible. You can get yours, but look at this compared to all that. And I said, this represents one person, the reading of that. And each person is unique in a sense, because each person, even though we talk about the same things kind of happening, they happen on different times and different days. So each person has to have their own set of books. And yet, here's one book that covers all. Everybody from all time and all generation. That's the uniqueness of God's Word. And to me, that was a great illustration to show how unique God's Word is and how able He is to take and make a Reader's Digest, so to speak. Everybody sort of likes Reader's Digest. Those are not the full documents. They're condensed so that we could take and read more and get more done, because it just sort of gives the thought, the main thought about it. And so this is like the Reader's Digest that God gives. Could God give us more? He could give you volumes. It says that in John there. He says, I could have given you way more, but I didn't. This is what I gave you. And so here's a book that we could put in place of all of this for each person that has all the answers. Now, certainly this doesn't compare at all to that. So how do they do that? Well, by, like, for instance, these kind of words. These are principles that you'll find in God's Word. What do you do with the principles? Like endurance, there's the principle. You said that we should have that in our life. How do you do it? Well, the first thing that you deal with, perhaps, is the idea of quitting. How do you deal with quitting? Well, what do you find about in God's Word to take and encourage you to go on? And so you continue on. But for each person, it could be a different answer. Some of these things here start off with love and trust over here. You can't hardly see this, perhaps, but this is trust, a little like puff balls, kind of like. But I'll get back to that in a moment. This is kind of like the foundation. We didn't cover these in this order. We took them in a different order, but I wanted to start out with the Lord Jesus Christ's love for us, and by our trust in Him, we can have forgiveness. Over here, you'll see this letter, the letter I. In there, it's hard to see up there, it's in yellow, but you can come up here after and see these things. And there is the forgiveness for myself and the thankfulness. We talked about that again this morning, being thankful, and there's some other thoughts there. Beyond that, we go on and live. This is to represent our building blocks of a wall. And so there might be self-control that we talked about. And there's a wall represented as different areas there. This is talking about fairness. It's conducting yourself. So conducting is why I put that with self-control. So that one. The other one's kindness there over here. It mentions about kindness, and then there's the word kindness that we looked at. Courage and humility. If you look at humility on the card, where is it at? Huh? On the bottom of the card. So it kind of represents the idea. So as you look at some of these, you might get some different thoughts about the card. But humility is on the bottom of that card, but it's at the top of the heap over here, because sometimes we have so much trouble with humility that perhaps that's at the top of the heap over there. But honesty sort of goes up and down. Maybe sometimes we're honest, maybe sometimes we're not. The idea of respect. Over here is another thought that we'll get to in a moment, but these are some of the thoughts that we looked at this past year and spent some time considering. And then there's also this idea of endurance. Let's see if I can set this up here a little bit. All right. Good enough there. Endurance. Let's take and consider a little bit more about endurance as a metaphor. You know, sometimes we say, well, how do we do some things? Well, we have different resources. We have this as a good, tremendous resource. We also have other things as a resource, too. We have these things called our Sunday school papers, and I didn't read this until, this is June the 1st paper, and since you didn't have it until after a couple of weeks, you couldn't read it in the beginning there. But after Bill took and I had his message there. I took and read this one. And this one is about this lady that plays the piano. Normally, I probably wouldn't, for some reason, maybe look at it as much as some other ones. But I just want to read through part of this. I'm not going to read the whole thing. In fact, there's still some left over. And so you could take them as a resource and finish reading the story here. I just want to get part of it to emphasize some things about endurance here in this person's life. Taiwan's National Concert Hall reserved its schedule for the world's finest musicians. Tonight is no exception. House lights dim. Conversation ceases. All eyes focus on Dr. Ping Shang Liao, or Liao. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, but she was 30 years old, sitting on stage at a 9-foot Hamburg Steinway concert piano. For 75 minutes, her fingers danced across its ivory keys, mesmerizing the audience with emotive expressions of Haydn, Bach, Chopin, and Ravel. Applause draws an encore, Rachmaninoff's G-sharp minor prelude. Five curtain calls exclaims audiences' respect. There's respect over there. And appreciation, thankfulness over here for what she had done. She's recognized as one of her country's outstanding musicians, and it goes on to list some of her credits, which I won't read here, and what she's doing sort of now. But it goes on to say, whether performing in austere concert halls around the world or instructing piano students one-on-one, her passion is evident. I want to tell others about Jesus Christ through the gift of classical music that he's given me, she says. Each of us as believers have been given a gift. That gift was recognized by her mother, who registered her in piano lessons at the age of 5. I didn't mind practicing. As a little girl, I thought of my upright piano as a large toy in which I could make a lot of noise. Diligent practice throughout her teen years established her reputation as a winning pianist in numerous contests. At the age of 18, she was a music major in the National Taiwan Normal University. There she faced a tough competitive environment that demanded strict self-discipline. She rose to the challenge, practicing the piano 4 hours each day and poring over her studies. She did the studying in Rochester, right here in the Eastman School of Music over there in Rochester. A lot of her schooling was done right there. But the idea that she demanded strict self-discipline, endurance, all right? And she did it for 4 hours, and so that caught my attention there. However, it was also the application of further of how in her life here. Despite her academic success, however, she felt unfulfilled. She had been raised in a Christian home. Notice her back. She'd been raised in a Christian home. She had asked Jesus Christ into her life as an 11-year-old. She knew God loved her. She attended church regularly. Still, by the time she reached her senior year, she realized something was missing. So we still have some of the seniors over there, and perhaps they might be thinking the same thing. She found her answer after responding to her roommate's challenge to read the Bible daily. One evening she read the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. From Matthew chapter 5. She knew these verses well. She had heard them in Sunday school. In Sunday school, we can be thankful for the many teachers that we have and for the many speakers that we have and the excellent job that they've done in presenting the Word. And so many things are heard and learned in Sunday school. But again, what do you do with them? It says, but this time they seem different as she read on, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. She was unfulfilled. She was still looking and searching, and so she found in God's Word, again, this little book compared to this whole thing, the answer there. It was tears streamed down her face as the truth of the Scripture warmed her heart. It was though a light switched on. I knew what the problem was. I had been seeking blessing through musical success. That was all wrong. God's Word showed me that the true blessings were to be found in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. At that point, my attitude changed towards competitions. I continued to enjoy them and recognize their significance, but winning wasn't as important anymore, she said. And it goes on to take the rest of it. But the idea, the fact of the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, what you've learned in Sunday school needs to take and be applied in your life. And that's why you have this group over here. You start off with faith in the center there, but sort of those things I put as like a circle, kind of like they're sort of like a three-ring circus. To me, they all sort of go together. And the idea of accountability is big. I never thought that you'd see that word too much in the news, but that and the credibility ones appear constantly lately in the news with different people. And if they're still trying to do these things this way, well, if you follow this by the world standards, like Bill said before, it's different. Bill emphasized several times that the world's viewpoints of how to do these characteristics, these character building blocks, is not the same as what God's Word has in mind. And so they're going to tend to fail. And so all those, to me, are kind of linked together, the fact of being accountable. Because as we give forth the Scripture, what do you take and do with it? Well, some of it is accountable. You're the one that's accountable to take and use it for you. And here's a case in this story in the Sunday school paper, how God worked in their life through God's Word. Each one of us can have a different experience. The fact that God's Word is credible. And are we credible? Are we committed? We heard a lot, as I said yesterday, about a commitment for those at camp and the work there. There's been commitment by people here, and it needs to be continued to a commitment. But each one of these words, as we looked at them this past year, can be applied differently in each one of our lives based on the circumstances that we have. And in God's Word, the answer, as I said, is yes. It's here. But you might have to dig for it. It says in that verse that he ended up with, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to do some of the work yourself. You have to take a look at some of the things and apply the things to your life. You can't expect somebody else to take and give you all the answers. Like I said, if all the answers for every day were in here, would you take and read it? This is day one, day two, day three, and it had all the answers in here. Would you take and read that? Well, it has it here, but it may not be able to be understood completely because the application can be, the same portion can be taken more than one way. And so those are two kind of illustrations to bear out this evidence of endurance as one of the areas that we looked at this past year. These other ones we spent some time in and had some good thoughts. Perhaps one of these other ones spoke to you more than maybe these kind of spoke to me a little bit more this past year. But maybe it was more than one that spoke to you. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's begin at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, by which ye are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and it goes on. We took and looked at this as our key verse to start with. These are virtues that you can incorporate in your life. And if it starts with faith, it starts with faith in the Son of God is who we need for our salvation. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can try to do these other things as a moral thing, but you're not going to have the success with them because there's something wrong still inside you. You need to have the salvation clean you out and then take and go on from there using faith in these areas and adding these things to your life. We went through 15. There's 15 of these up here. That's what we went through this past year for Sunday school, 15 different ones, and that's by no means the whole list. But it says, again, as we look at verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What does that mean? If you take and add something, what's taking place? Yeah, you're learning, but it starts with the letter C. Change. Something that we don't like to... Something has to change. And so if you're adding something, there's not the privilege of saying, well, I can learn about something and there's no change involved. There has to be change if we're going to take and add these things to our life. Something has to change and be different. And that's the part that probably don't want to deal with. If it hasn't taken place this year, well, then perhaps the Lord still needs to speak to you about something. If it has, tremendous. If it hasn't, or it has, and up and downs, it's a daily process. It doesn't end. And so we have salvation to consider, but then we have our life after that while we're on this earth, and that's important too. And God gives us the ability, each one of us, in a different way, to take and help with that, to take and do these changes. We try to take and do some things here and instruct the people, but again, accountability is, you know, like up to you for what you can do yourself, and that's the tough part to take and apply. In your daily bread, for those that read it back in May 13th, there's an interesting article that I just want to refer to and read. I didn't read this in May 13th. Sort of, I'm like behind on some things, but I sort of sometimes get behind, so I try to read it like a group, maybe at a time, and I don't know whether they plan it this way or not, but it seems like sometimes there's a whole section that sort of fits together under or one thoughts or what I get out of it. But back on May the 13th, if you've read this, you might remember this, about it says, the verse that they give is Hosea 10:12, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. As a new gardener, I soon learned that the uncultivated soil was resistant to seed planting and growth. But when I planted good seeds in well-prepared soil, heaven's sun and rain did their part until the harvest came. Well-prepared soil, the right seeds, and God's blessing are essential for fruitfulness, not only in gardening, but also in Christian living. God's prophet Hosea preached this principle to the people of Israel. Now notice it's not just Here's your idea. Here's your personal thing for you, and here's your personal thing for you, and here's your personal thing for you that was like a principle. Here's the thing that covers everybody. How does it apply to you? The principle to the people of Israel that they had sown the seeds of wickedness and trusted in their own way instead of God's. Now they were eating the bitter fruit of lies, especially the lie that their safety and success came from their own military strength in Hosea 10:13. Hosea pleaded with Israel to go God's way, to break up the sin-hardened soil of their hearts, and to seek the Lord. As I was thinking about planting seeds and everything, normally, sometimes as you plant a seed, you might not know what it is. It might not be very beautiful. It might be ugly. And we're looking for the end result, what that seed might produce. But what does Satan do? He kind of reverses the process. He throws out stuff that looks like seed, that looks really great and it's pleasurable. Hey, I want to do that. But he doesn't show us what the outcome is. And then we find out it's way different than what we thought about. So Satan kind of reverses the process, but the idea still remains the same, that as we sow, that's what we reap. But he makes it look good up in front and destroys it at the end. Sometimes it's the other way. God's word maybe doesn't make it look as good or difficult, but at the end result is much, much better. And so I thought about that. Is the soil of your heart resistant to God and his word rather than receptive? Do you trust in your own way rather than God's trust? Then it's time to seek the Lord in honest repentance. Honesty? To sow right actions and attitudes in your life. It sounds like character building. Right actions and attitudes in your life. And to grow his way. Above all, depend on his power rather than your own to make you fruitful. And so this idea of planning, the successfulness of planning is what we've tried to take and do. It goes on, other ones I'm not going to take the time to go into, but it goes on to some things in being thankful. What's our defense? God's word. The idea, he continues on, and these are from the Daily Bread, one after another, of endurance and of quitting, of the importance of God's word. But then there's one last one I want to get to on May the 19th here. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Feed my sheep. For each of those that are in the oversight, this has been a thing that's been thought about probably many, many times. What will keep us serving the Lord in our church and community when the going gets tough? Although we may be sensitive to the needs of others, that alone isn't enough. Nor should we be driven by a need that we have, a desire to be appreciated or loved by others. Our needs are deep and only God can satisfy them. The more we try to satisfy them with anything else, even God's work, the more dissatisfied we will become. Well, we talked about the work at Camp Lilloli. But yet, that's a work, then perhaps that can be a problem and cause us dissatisfaction. Even love for God's people, his sheep, won't keep us going. People can be unlovable and insufferable. We may come to resent them. This is in May the 19th for the Daily Bread. No, the only sufficient incentive for service is our love for the Lord, and it's the love of Christ that compels us. No other motivation will do. In my utmost for his highest, Oswald Chambers wrote, if we are devoted the cause of humanity, we will soon be crushed and brokenhearted. It sounds like if you try to do these things morally, you're going to find that it's going to be failure because you don't have the power behind it. But if our motive is to love God, no ingratitude can hinder us from serving our fellow man. What did that young lady find in the piano player? She found that the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ was what was important and changed her attitude. And so do we promote that, the idea of the relationship and how important it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've attempted this past year to take and feed you and try to give you things from God's word, and I think they've done a tremendous job in all the different areas in our meeting here, and for that I'm very thankful for. But again, the accountability is up to you as to what you do with that we can only do so much. Remember when you have a baby, you try to feed them some stuff and they don't like it? What do? They spit it out. They don't want it, and they don't get it. And I can remember trying to feed the guy, and you just couldn't get it in them. And so we may try to do that and get it into you and desire that it would be there, but it can only do so much. And so we trust that as you come out, you might take God's word and take and apply it. Here's some things to help you with, some things that you can add to your life, but they're only a small list that we've considered. We had some very good thoughts on that. But our concern is trying to feed you, continue to feed you, but sometimes we may fail in doing that. So we just thank you for the opportunity this past year for this topic that we've looked at, and trust it's been a help to you, and that you continue to find God's word. Read that. If you don't want to read about your life every day this way, find it out in here. Uncle Dave, would you just close in prayer, and you're dismissed for this morning.